Morning, folks. We're doing, over the next 5 weeks, Life in the Holy Spirit. It's a little series we're doing, a short series. And I chose, for my backdrop in these slides, the image that we have from the Bible of Holy Spirit descending on Jesus. And that is the dove. And I'm just putting that, weaving that through all the slides as we go through. This is a series we're looking at Holy Spirit afresh in relationship to Jesus, in relationship to Father God. This is for you and for me, for us all, wherever we're at. On that image, this is the scripture that goes with it. Matthew 3:13-17. Jesus came from Galilee. He went to John at the Jordan River to be baptized by him. John tried to stop him. He said, "I need to be baptized by you," Jesus said. "Do you come to me?" John said to him, "Let it be done now. We should do what is right." John agreed and baptized Jesus. When Jesus came out of the water, the heavens opened. He saw the Spirit of God coming down and resting on Jesus like a dove. A voice was heard from heaven, and it said, "This is my much loved Son. I am very happy with him." God's blessing on Jesus for his ministry was the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. Jesus needed Holy Spirit during his ministry to do what he was supposed to do. And Jesus intercedes between God and Jesus and us. That's what Holy Spirit does. I was very challenged by that last line in that scripture this morning. And I want us to stand, if you can. Because I believe what God's saying to us, to each of us, this is to you. You are my much loved son and daughter. You are my much loved son and daughter. And then God says to you, "I am very happy with you. I am very happy with you. I am very happy with you." Take that on board. God's saying, as a son and daughter, as he said to his own son, "I am very happy with you." Just soak that in, because God's saying that he is pleased with us. He is pleased with each one of us. Not the person next door to you. He's pleased with each one of us. Just come down a bit, Matt. It's echoing here. Thanks. He's pleased with each one of us. Notice in that scripture, there's nowhere he's saying, "I realize you've had a bad week, and I've realized you haven't done this, and realized you haven't prayed for 3 hours every day." Doesn't say any of that. He says, "As my son and daughter, I am happy with you." That's a good place to be, isn't it? That's a good place to be. Holy Spirit is doing stuff without me doing any talk. He's doing stuff because God is happy with you and me. Amen. If you want to sit down, you can do, because there's another 18 slides to go. So. Oh, and I must remember to click on. The significance of Holy Spirit is tremendous, because Jesus couldn't do his stuff, his ministry, without Holy Spirit. So let's just get that really clear in our heads. So if we're trying to do anything without Holy Spirit, paddles, gum trees, canals, big lakes without boats, all come into mind. It ain't gonna work. So let's read the scripture. "If you love me and do what I say..." I was lying to you, I'm only reading the first line of the scripture. "Do what I say." Now most of us, when we get to that bit, there's that sort of... we're not always particularly good at doing what we're told. What is that really saying to us? It's saying, have we got an obedient heart? Have we got a heart which is teachable, that we want to learn? And what it's not saying is, we're there and we've got it all cracked. It's saying, are we prepared on our journey to take the next steps? Now, I suspect that some of you who are on a journey like me, that we've been around the Globe Island, now the Miners Island, 10 times, and you think, I should get off here at some point. But God is still with us, and he's saying, if you are obedient to my word, if you are teachable, we'll move on. And at some point, we'll take a junction off the island, and we'll go to places we never imagined we were going to go. I'll go back to the scripture. Then I will ask my Father, and he will give you another helper. He will be with you forever. He will give you a helper, and he will be with you forever. Now, my understanding is that's quite a long time. It's actually longer than the service today. It could be even the rest of the day. It might be tomorrow. In fact, you get the point. He is the Spirit of Truth, Holy Spirit. The world cannot receive him. It does not see him or know him. But you know him because he lives with you and will be in you. Nia shared that this morning. She knows what it's like in you. Now the deal is, if you've actually given your heart and life to Jesus, he's in there anyway. Have we actually built a new solid relationship with Holy Spirit in us? This is Jesus' promise, that we believe in him, give our lives to Jesus, and he promises that he will send Holy Spirit to be with us and live in us forever, forever. The series has got 5 titles, and we're doing this over 5 weeks. So today's theme is God's standard for life in the Holy Spirit. Next week, Lisa's talking about God's provision. Richard's talking about characteristics. Andy's talking about responsibilities. And Dave Dunham is talking about reaching out within a life of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at today's theme. We're trying to look at God's standard of life in the Holy Spirit. And the 4 headings I'm looking at today, and this is I'm building on for the other guys to build on. What a life in the Holy Spirit is not, okay? Because we get pictures and images that we think Holy Spirit is. It's very easy to make assumptions about Holy Spirit, and we can make assumptions about who he is and what he is and what he's going to do that aren't right. We're also looking at what it means to be a spiritual being. God is spirit. He gives us Holy Spirit. What does that actually mean for us? We're talking about being created for relationship. Even when we're a person that actually enjoys our own company, we're still built for relationship. I don't know if you've ever looked. It's really hard to do this, actually, but on the bottom here, there's a stamp, and it's got made by God. Now, you have to be in relationship because you can't actually see it. No, I won't go there. Okay. We are created for relationship with God, with Father God. And Holy Spirit is key to that relationship. The last thing we're looking at is we're going to get to the grips of the challenge of the balance between Holy Spirit, Father God, and Jesus, to understand that relationship a little bit better and clearer. What holy life in the Holy Spirit is not. When you actually have that stirring of that Holy Spirit, you don't have to be like Robin Williams, who is like, seems to be like an extrovert. And you can see his face there when he's getting that. You can fill in the noise if you want to. Matt might be having a heart attack if I actually did it, but okay. You're not suddenly, with the Holy Spirit, going to change your personality beyond what you are. That isn't going to happen. When you have that amazing recognizing the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to become a superhero. So even this morning, Nia, if she goes like that, she's not going to blast your head off with a ray. I bet sometimes she's thought that would be a really good thing to have. As I have, actually, there are some occasions that I'm thinking that would be really good. But that's not what Holy Spirit's about. Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Now, obviously, if you're not familiar, it's Mr. Spirit, and his first name's Holy. Okay? Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And he's a gentleman, and he does and cares and supports by invitation. In other words, he's not a bully. He will do what we ask. Now, that's a flavour of what Holy Spirit is like. He's not the superpower. A couple of scriptures to go with that. Galatians 5:13. Have they come up? Yes. Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another humbly in love. Is that hard work? Absolutely. Is it easier sometimes just to go and give somebody a clout round the head and say, you're not supposed... But actually, in love, it takes time. It takes time to build that relationship and that strength and encouragement. Yeah, I'm fascinated with that sound as well. He's got his ear to the thing just to see. It's all right. He's a blessing. Second scripture, Philippians 1:26-28. Life worthy of the gospel. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Do we always do that? No. But we're learning. We're learning. And as we go back to what we said, Holy Spirit's a gentleman and he will help us as we allow him to do more so that we become more like Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Standing firm in the Spirit. That's us growing in that sense of understanding of what Holy Spirit is about. I was trying to find on the internet a picture of temptation. Now, you can well understand there are some pictures that didn't seem very appropriate to show. But this one did. We looked after our daughter's dog, Strider, for a fortnight. Now, their sense of smell is unreal. And I can just imagine the dog sitting there and he's been told, sit, stay. And he's going, now that's temptation, isn't it? That's temptation. For a dog, he's like dribbling down the side and he's... Now, let's be honest. If it's the right thing on the plate, we're there, aren't we? We're going, yeah. And they're going, you can't have it now. Temptation. With Holy Spirit, we don't suddenly become perfect. We don't get to a place instantly where we never sin anymore. We are challenged by temptation. But we have Holy Spirit to help us. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is not to reach a sudden place of perfection. My only understanding of the place of perfection is that I'm lying down and there's a bit of wood round me. Okay? And then I'm in the presence of God. That's where there'll be a sense of perfection. Because God will have done everything he wants to do with me. Now I'm hoping that's not going to be today. It might be a few days away. And so that perfection is going to take some time. And I'm guessing it might be with you as we. But the thing is, we have Holy Spirit who actually tells us and teaches us to actually overcome and to be different. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except that is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So whenever you're in a situation or walk into something, there will always be a way out. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God's promising to be there with all of those times where we're struggling forever. 1 John 1:8-9. If we claim to be without sin, We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, and we were talking about that this morning, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's not rocket science, it's dead simple, isn't it? That as we open ourselves, as we give ourselves, as we realize that God is speaking to us, Holy Spirit is stirring in our hearts and saying to us, you need to do something about this. As we come to Him and confess that, He will forgive and forget. When we're in a Spirit-filled life, as I've said, we're not going to become perfect overnight, but we are going to grow. We are transformed, as it says in Romans. And Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Holy Spirit is going to give us that ability to be able to slowly be transformed, to be changed, to be renewed, to be different. And our minds will come into line. Which is kind of cool, because in our minds, where all that rubbish and lies that come to us and tell us, like we were talking about and what Jacqueline was saying, where we believe the rubbish, you can't do that, you ain't good enough. That's obviously a local version of God. But they're lies. And as our minds are transformed, as we allow Holy Spirit to change and repaint those pictures in our heads, we will be different. You are a son and daughter of Father God, and He's happy with you. He's happy with you. 2 Peter says, but grow in grace. I want to do that. I want to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To Him be both glory now and forever. I want to grow in grace. I want to be transformed. John 4:23. About where is this taking us? Yet as time is coming and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We'll worship not only with ourselves, but Holy Spirit stirring us to worship in new ways, to give of ourselves. Holy Spirit helps us to do that, because we are spiritual beings because we have Holy Spirit in us. God is spirit, and His worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. It's something we're growing in and developing. The Bible teaches that we are spiritual beings. We are a part of God who is a creative Father. It says in Genesis, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. We are to be God-like. God was creative. Holy Spirit helps us to be creative. That's what we're about. And it will be different for each one of us. To be a spiritual being, some people deny that we have a spiritual nature, or that the spiritual will there isn't anything beyond science. A sort of a naturalistic worldview. You've got many people who only live their lives by what they see and do, and by the science that's around them. You get the Stephen Hawkins of this world who pronounces about things and has supposedly the answers to everything. I personally find that really difficult, because when I was at school and I was growing in school and went into the science classes, they used to say, this is such and such is law. This is a fact. And then I went to college and they said, ah, well, yes, that is a law. But what a law means in science is it happens the majority of times. That's what they actually said. It happens a majority of times. That's what a law of science is. But there are some times, in these circumstances, it doesn't happen. And they don't actually get round to saying it, but they're basically saying, and we don't quite get that if we're honest. There is that uncertainty about the fact that we're making everything black and white, and it isn't all black and white. I'm also impressed by those scientists who actually declare they have a deep faith. My dad was a scientist. I worked with scientists in school, and they had a deep faith because, yes, they could see these laws and they could see the reactions of things happening, but they saw beyond. And even if you look at Darwin and his latter stages of his life, he actually came back to faith. Who man who actually, with his teaching, changed people into a very blinkered view of science, and then he himself realized there was something more than the facts that he knew. Some people recognize that our spiritual nature, they dabble in it. They dabble in the spiritual world, which can be a little bit dangerous, because if you think about the newspapers and magazines, there's all sorts of things in there about horoscopes, the occult, life after death, all sorts of things that come from all sorts of histories, whether it's Eastern or whether it's New Age and places like that, where they are seeking beyond science but actually haven't got an answer. And of course it depends on their view of where that spiritual is coming from. Is it God with a small g, or the God with a big G? And in their world, there's lots of gods with little g's. But is that the spiritual place we're at? Is it the one we're trying to actually put our heart into? Or is there something we should be looking elsewhere? Then there's the other group of people, which I'm guessing the people sitting here would fit into that mold, that they recognize there is a spiritual nature and there is a spiritual world, and they actually will rely on that relationship with God to guide them in that area so that they're not taken astray. They're not actually taken into places where they might not realize they shouldn't have gone. They're saying that there's something beyond this material world, this visible world, and it doesn't all exist in the things that we can see. It says in Corinthians, so fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporal, and what is unseen is eternal. So let's think about those three areas. The scientific approach ignores the reality that there is some spiritual part to life in this world. Those folks that are spiritually dabbling and having a go at everything and anything risk that situation where they're going to be affected in a bad way. The devil will have his way, unfortunately. And then there's those with the biblical view that are trying to actually follow and let Holy Spirit lead us into new places, because we were created for a relationship with God. And to get that depth of relationship with God, we need to have Holy Spirit to help us and teach us how we are to be in that relationship. This is the place where we can now recognize, yes, there is these scientific facts. Yes, there is a spiritual nature of God that is on this world. We've had people from Voyage, we've had a couple of examples where one of the ladies who's working there and sometimes wants a respite, she's gone and stood outside the prayer room because she knows there's something different about that room, because God's presence is evident in that room. Now that's somebody just coming, has no idea what they're doing, but they're actually standing outside because they can sense God's presence. They've even had one of the ladies who's very, very troubled just went, said, take her inside. And they've taken her inside and she's sat down and she has calmed down. Now, is that because the bubble tube is like immense, or is it because God's presence is there? It's God's presence there. We are created to be a spiritual being and in relationship to God, to Father God. I loved it last week when we were all having that time and we had a slightly different shape of chairs then. And little Megan was there and she was going to different adults and she was holding their hands and having a dance round. Why? Because she just trusted those adults. Great picture of us and God though, isn't it? Father God is reaching out his hands to each one of us and having a dance with each one of us. Because that's how much he loves us and cares for us. Because Holy Spirit is our guide and our comforter. 2 Corinthians says, all of us with no covering on our faces, the shining greatness of the Lord is as in a mirror. All the time we are being changed to look like him. And the more and more of his shining greatness, this change is from the Lord who is the Spirit. We are becoming more like Jesus through Holy Spirit. It affects how we look. I'll tell you a story. We had a mission at a church that I was going to quite a long time ago, when I think about that. Probably 35, 38 years ago. And God did stuff with people in the church. Some of them probably didn't really know what had happened, but God did stuff. And there was a lady who was a people watcher. She had a little bungalow which was outside the church, and she watched people going to church. And she described how people used to go to church and they didn't look in a happy place. Okay? But after this mission, she couldn't get over the fact that these people looked different. The same people going to church. They looked different. They looked different. Why? Because Holy Spirit had done something. They looked so different, she couldn't stop herself coming to church to find out what was going on. Now that's the presence of God, isn't it? That's the presence of God. We've got to get the balance of our relationship with God right. If we focus too much on any part of God, we're going to have problems. Some people find it difficult to see God as Father because their experience of Father is crip, bad. But they need to get that hold of that hand of God's arms around them. And then there's that picture people have of Jesus, and they can see Jesus, they can picture Jesus, they've read about Jesus in the scriptures. There are some parts of the church, even today, who will recognize Holy Spirit as something a long time ago. It do happen now. I bet he didn't realize he was from the West Midlands. But they actually don't allow Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. And we've got to get that balance right. If we ignore Holy Spirit, he can't make that connections. He can't help us to repaint that picture of Father if that has been damaged. He can't help us to actually paint an understanding of what Jesus has done. He's paid everything on a cross. Who's going to help us transform our mind? That's Holy Spirit. That's where we need to get that balance right. Holy Spirit is inside us. It's a part of us. This is a picture, as it were, as we see how Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and he transformed his life and changed the world in 3 years. Holy Spirit is somebody we need to get to know. There is need to be intimate. And it isn't getting to know like the auntie that we haven't seen forever. We had a neighbour where we used to live, two up from us. He was a man who used to live in a mobile home. It was a nice home. But his parents died and he inherited their bungalow. It was a big bungalow. It was a nice bungalow. But he had very little income. And he used to live in the back room of that bungalow, because he couldn't afford to heat the rest of the house. And half the time he didn't actually have the logs to actually burn there. And the question was, which I asked him, why don't you sell the house and go back and live in your mobile home where you were before? You would then have money to have heating all the time. That you could have food on your table all the time. He was leaving this bungalow as an inheritance. Now we get that, but it was inheritance to a nephew he'd never met. He hadn't even met their family. What? He didn't know them. We have an inheritance that we, as sons and daughters of God, will change our world, change our life. And the Holy Spirit wants us to be so close to Him in relationship that actually it will mean something to us. And He was talking about dreams. Those dreams are only going to come to pass, and we're only going to have those dreams if we allow Holy Spirit to work in us. Yeah? Let's stand. I just want to pray, and I realise I'm running way over time. So I'm just going to just pray. And I just want you to allow Holy Spirit. We've already realised how much God loves us, that He's poured out His love upon each one of us. And I just want to allow Holy Spirit now, give Him permission. It's not me giving Him permission, it's you giving Him permission to be all that He can be in us. And then tomorrow, I want you to do the same thing. And funnily enough, Tuesday and Wednesday. What was that word? Forever. So let's just pray. Father, Lord, I thank You for that gift that You have given us of Holy Spirit. I thank You that You are stirring in each one of our hearts. Father, I just pray, allow us to understand what that means. Help us to dream. Help us to come to a place where You point something to us and say, you need to do something about it, and we will respond. Help us to be obedient. Help us to actually be teachable. Help us to move on to the next steps. Help us, Holy Spirit, to do what You were designed to do, to be in us and a part of us, our comforter and our guide. Now I'm going to draw this time to a close. You just allow Holy Spirit, you stand as long as you want or sit down and allow Holy Spirit to show you things and teach you things and open doors that you didn't think would ever be able to be open. I'm talking to you and talking to me. Spend as long as you need to. And when you're done, then go and share and have a drink of tea and coffee. Holy Spirit, just have Your way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.